So, Matt, I invite you to come forward. Just as you do that, I'll get your PowerPoint up on the screen here.
Well, look, while Reverend David is being a man of many talents here, getting everything sorted for us production-wise as well, thought I'd just say a good morning. If I haven't had a chance to come and say hi to you yet, it really is such a pleasure to be here again with you this morning. This is my third year in a row now that I've had the privilege of being able to come and not just share about the work of Destiny Rescue, but obviously speak into the heart of our work and share about all the amazing things that God is doing in and through our work as well. So in our short time, I think this morning, I know there's some new faces, some people who might not have heard about our work. What I want you to understand right from the beginning, though, is just how impacting your partnership has been with Destiny Rescue. And I've got a slide to speak into that in a moment. But I want to be respectful of your time as well. So I'll keep it moving in this way. But over the last few years now, your church together has given $12,991.65, which is phenomenal. So can you give yourselves a big round of applause? Thank you so much. Look at that, amazing. Now there's a typo there. It actually doesn't represent six children. It is in fact seven children. And over the last 12 months, four of those children have been rescued because of the you've come together, you've not just been praying, but you've been giving and you've been leaning in. So from Destiny Rescue to you, can I just say thank you? Because unfortunately we're not able to get the kids obviously along here to share and say thanks in that way. But can I just say thank you, because it is literally life-changing, and that's what we get the opportunity to explore a little bit more this morning. Because these children and these numbers that you're seeing, that they're not just numbers, that these are real children. Their lives have been restored, their lives have been turned around forever, and their futures are being rebuilt, and you have made that possible. So thank you so much. You know, and there's sometimes this question that pops into my mind, and I wonder that maybe when we get to heaven that we might be stopped by one of these kids who might just say, hey, like, thank you, because without you this would have not have been possible. That's how deep this work runs. This is how life transformative this work is. So before we go too much further, I do just want to give a little bit of a content warning. Obviously, this is a big topic. It can be hard to listen to the truth and the reality of the situations. But I'm not here to sensationalize this. I'm going to share this in a really sensitive way. But if you do need to get up and leave the room at any point, please just feel free to do so. But I think it's so vital that we are having this conversation, because we know that God cares deeply about vulnerable people, and I think so should we. So thank you. So for those who are newer here, who is Destiny Rescue? Well, we exist to rescue children from sexual exploitation and human trafficking, but then we want to make sure that we're equipping them to stay free. And you see, for us, that second part is really, really important, and it matters, because rescue can happen in a moment, but we know that restoration can take time, sometimes even years. So alongside rescue operations that we do with law enforcement and border checkpoints along, you know, the Nepal-India border there, we've got teams that will provide trauma counselling to these kids, safe housing, health checkups, education and vocational training, family reintegration, and of course, long-term care as well. And honestly, doesn't that sound like the gospel though? Coming alongside people, because we know that Jesus doesn't just rescue us from something, he restores us into something as well. So some of you may remember me sharing a little of a little girl called Chelsea last year, or maybe even the year before. The little five-year-old girl who we connected 395 Australians had been paying to have and watch her be exploited online. You know, I still think about Chelsea, and I wonder if you do too. But the heartbreaking reality is that there are so many more children that still exist just like Chelsea. They're still waiting, they're still vulnerable, still wondering if anyone sees them, which is why this work matters. And hearing stories like Chelsea's Seeing survivors become parents, nurses, even worship leaders, I'm reminded that rescue isn't only isn't something that they need. Rescue sits at the center of every Christian story, which makes me wonder, what has God rescued you from? And I want to start with that simple question this morning and let it sit with you just for a moment. What has God rescued you from? Fear? Shame? Addiction? Anxiety? Brokenness? Hopelessness? Sin? Maybe from a life that looked okay externally, but internally felt lost. And yet somehow God met you there. He saw you, he pursued you, and he rescued you. Sometimes, if we're honest, I think we can forget just how much God has brought us out of. But throughout Scripture, one thing becomes really clear. People who encounter God's rescue are often sent back into the world, carrying his mercy. See, God rescues people and invites them into his work. And one of the clearest examples, I think, is Moses. So I've titled this message, Moses, When God Interrupts Comfort. Because Moses isn't just someone simply that we admire in Scripture. He's someone God interrupts and then sends. And I want to suggest something. That disruption often sits in the uncomfortable space between oppression and freedom. We love freedom stories, don't we? They give us the warm and fuzzies, but less so the disruption in the middle. The obedience part, the uncertainty part, but often that's where God is working. So we're going to read from Exodus this morning, but let me first set the scene a little for you. See, Israel has been in Egypt for a long time now, generations, and at first they were welcomed because of Joseph, but eventually everything changed. A new Pharaoh rose to power, fear became policy, policy became oppression, and oppression became slavery. Whole families forced into brutal labor with no rights, no freedom, no way out. Yet in the middle of all of that, there's Moses. Once raised in Pharaoh's household, he had influence, privilege, opportunity, but then failure, mistakes, and running. 40 years in the wilderness, tending the sheep, ordinary life, a quiet life. And then God interrupts. In Exodus 3, verse 7 to 9, it says, "The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them." God has seen, he has heard, he's aware, and then he rescues. I find that incredible, that because before God sends Moses, before freedom comes, before miracles comes, before rescue comes, he says, "I've seen, I've not ignored, I've not missed, I've seen. I have heard every cry, every desperate prayer, every moment Israel wondered, has God forgotten us?" And then he says, "I know their suffering." See, church, God doesn't observe pain from a distance. He actually enters into it. And isn't that ultimately what we see in Jesus? God stepping into suffering, into humanity, into brokenness. And maybe someone needs reminding today that just because God feels silent doesn't mean he's absent. And Israel waited generations, yet God was still working. Delay wasn't abandonment. And while Exodus happened thousands of years ago, did you know that oppression still exists today? Not metaphorically, but literally. Well over 1 million children are victims of exploitation. 4 out of 5 of those are girls or women. 60% of this will happen just on our back doorstep in the Asia Pacific region. And it is the fastest growing illegal trade in the world today. And you can, if you can see the screen behind me, you'll see a lot of different numbers. But what I want you to take away is that human trafficking generates $39.5 million of every single hour of every single day. And behind every statistic is someone's daughter, someone's child, someone God sees. And then I wonder how many vulnerable children must sit there and ask themselves the same question Israel once asked. Does anyone see me? Does anyone care? Well, a 16-year-old girl in Cambodia named Rizme likely asked those same questions. Pressure had fallen on her to support her grandmother and elderly aunt. Eventually, survival pushed her into work in a beer garden. And beer gardens are one of those places that they can seem seemingly innocent on the outside, but often hides exploitation beneath that surface. And because she was young, she was vulnerable, she was beautiful, predators noticed her. In fact, one of our agents described it was like a butterfly amongst spiders. But Exodus reminds us that God sees, God hears, and God knows suffering, and eventually God moves. And in Rizme's story, God's movement began through something incredibly ordinary, a conversation at church. Someone noticed, someone cared, someone refused to stay silent. And today, I want you to hear her story for yourself.
After worship, a woman approached a Destiny Rescue caseworker in Cambodia with a desperate plea. A girl was being exploited in a local bar. 16-year-old Rizme was responsible for providing for her elderly grandmother. At the bar, her delicate beauty made her a target for predators, a vulnerability her boss was happy to exploit. When our rescue agents offered her a way to provide for her family without sacrificing her body, Rizme took it. But after completing her post-rescue training, there were no jobs waiting for her. Our caseworkers prayed that God would provide a job for Rizme. 2 days later, they got an unexpected phone call from a local salon owner in need of beauty techs. What the salon owner couldn't have known was that Rizme aspired to work in the beauty industry. The salon owner is thrilled with Rizme's dedication and bright attitude. God blessed one woman's choice to speak up. Now, you have the opportunity to do the same. Your choice right now could change someone's life forever. Choose rescue today.
Well, you know what stands out to me from Rizme's story is that freedom isn't only the removal of chains. Sometimes freedom is recovering dignity, hope, identity, the ability to dream again. In church, that sounds so much like the gospel. God doesn't simply remove chains, he restores people. And hearing stories like Rizme, seeing survivors become employees and parents and worship leaders and business owners, I'm reminded that rescue sits at the center of every Christian story. And maybe that's why stories like Rizme's resonates with us so deeply. Because throughout scripture, rescued people are often invited into God's rescue work for others. Then God says something confronting to Moses. In Exodus 3:10-12, he says, "So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And God said, "I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Now go, for I am sending you. And Moses' response is basically like, who, me? It's relatable though, isn't it? Because I think most of us assume that God will use someone braver, someone smarter, someone more qualified, someone with maybe fewer mistakes than us. But Moses had failure, he had regret, a very complicated past, 40 years in hiding, and yet God still says to him, go. Then God says something that changes everything, and that's in Exodus 3 verses 12, where he says, I will be with you. I will be with you. Church, God's calling is rarely built on ability. It's more often about availability, obedience, even a willingness to say yes. Because Moses keeps resisting. He's like, who am I? What if they don't believe me? Later on, I'm slow of speech. Excuse after excuse. Yet God keeps responding, I will be with you. And maybe that's encouraging because scripture is often full of hesitant people. Gideon, Jeremiah, Jonah, even Peter. God seems strangely comfortable choosing ordinary people. And why is that? Because at the end of the day, the glory always belongs to him. The miracle isn't Moses. The miracle is God with Moses. And eventually, that confidence in God becomes courage before Pharaoh. And eventually, Moses stands before Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the world at the time, and says, let my people go. Massive sentence. Massive disruption. But we often stop there because Exodus continues. Let my people go so they may worship me. Freedom wasn't the destination. God was. Israel wasn't rescued merely from slavery. They were rescued for relationship, just like you and I. For worship, for belonging, for covenant. And that's the gospel too. Christianity isn't become better, try harder, fix yourself. No, we're rescued into knowing God, into family, into sonship, into daughtership, into belonging. And I want to share with you a story because statistics can feel distant, can't they? But stories remind us that they are real. Last year, we met a young woman in Uganda called Sarah, just 17 years old. And when her parent became sick, she stepped in to provide for herself. For a year and a half, she sold herself to survive, to feed her family, to keep everyone going. She dropped out of school. Hopelessness slowly settled over her life. And over time, darkness became normal for her. Then one day, while visiting family, someone told her about our nearby Destiny Rescue Project. For the first time in a long time, hope flickered in her heart. So she walked into her office, she filled out the forms, and you know what she wrote? I want to be rescued. That line gets me every time, because I think underneath all of us, all of our different stories, the reality is, for many of us, that's what we wanted, that's what we needed, broken, tired and lost. And then somewhere along the way, asking God, please rescue me. I know that was my story. Sarah goes on to continue that after care, she later said something so beautiful. She said, they treated me like a daughter. Think about that for a moment. After being treated like a product, she was treated like family by our team. Church, that's the gospel. God doesn't simply just remove the chains. He restores identity. And in Romans 8, it says we've been adopted into God's family. Not tolerated, not managed, family. And her story continues. Eventually, she faced another choice. She could compromise her faith in the job that she'd got, or she could trust God. So she left the job that she had. She walks into church. She gives away the last bit of her paycheck and says, God, I am trusting you. And he did. God provided. Because obedience doesn't always guarantee comfort, but God remains faithful. Not always immediately, but faithfully. And today she has an amazing government job with her own office. She's got stability. She's got faith. She's got hope. She's spiritually free, financially free. She's been restored. See, Moses confronted Pharaoh, but Jesus confronted sin. Death, darkness itself, making a way for us back to God. And I think sometimes we can become familiar with that, the cross. We hear about it often, don't we? But think about what happened. The innocent one carried our guilt. The sinless one carried sin. The one deserving worship accepted suffering. Why? Because rescue costs something. And our rescue cost Jesus everything. See, church, Christianity isn't advice, it isn't self-improvement, and it isn't to try harder. It's rescue. God seeing humanity trapped and refusing to leave us here. That's why the gospel is called the good news. And maybe that's why rescue resonates with us so deeply. Because every Christian has a rescue story. All got different details, but we've all got the same rescuer. And the beautiful thing is, God's rescue was never meant to just stop with us. We've been rescued by God and invited by him into his work of restoration. Because Jesus is still rescuing to today. His heart for freedom hasn't changed. Rescue didn't stop in Exodus. It didn't stop at the cross. It continues, which is why after 25 years, we celebrate 25 years of rescues this year at Destiny Rescue. And it was one man's yes who said, yes, God, stepped out in obedience. Couldn't unhear what he'd heard about two men bragging about what they could do to a child. So one man's yes to God 25 years ago has led us now to over 26,000 individuals who have been rescued. Majority of those are children. They're not simply numbers. These are sons, they're daughters. When I had the privilege of joining the team in 2023, that year we averaged 8 rescues a day, which was record breaking for us. The year after, we averaged 11 rescues a day. Last year, we averaged 16 rescues a day, and 10 of those were children. And did you know of those 10, 5 will be rescued in collaboration with law enforcement in what we do raids. 3 of those will be rescued via our covert and rapport building operations, which is getting kids out of bars and brothels and nightclubs and massage parlors. And 2 of those will be rescued through our border intervention at Nepal. And it's all about prevention work there. 99% of the kids that we rescue there, they've not yet been exploited, which is really vital work. But church, while we've sat here this morning, there have been kids that have been moving towards freedom. Church, here's the truth. If we don't buy their freedom, someone will buy their innocence, their silence, and their future. But your generosity can change that and is continuing to change that for these kids, because your money can go where you can't. Your generosity can bring justice, and it's the kind of justice that all of these kids long for, so they never have to live in fear again. Do you know it costs $2,100 to rescue a child and get them on their pathway to freedom? That's $175 a month, $6 a day. That's a cup of coffee. But small things in our world become enormous things in someone else's. So how do we respond? Well, we can all pray. I've got some prayer points down the front with me. I'd love for you to take one of those home. And please be praying for our teams, for the girls and the children that we're yet to rescue. Pray for our aftercare workers. It requires all of us standing shoulder to shoulder. We know who this fight is against. Or you can spread the word. Feel free to advocate, raise awareness. You can host something. Maybe you want to introduce us to someone who you know who can help bring rescue, just in the same way that we were able to rescue Rizme, was because someone spoke up. Or you can give today. Perhaps you feel stirred by what you've heard. You can respond. And there's all donations over $2 are tax deductible. It's all safe. It's secure. You can donate through our website. I've got a card reader here or cash. But please just know that every donation will go directly towards rescuing children. Or perhaps you want to partner monthly and become what we call a rescue partner. And this is where, because monthly support continues to bring rescue to children month in and month out. And you know, maybe one day we'll get to heaven and there'll be a child who will walk up to us and say, "Thank you. I'm here because you didn't look away." And I know some of you have been partnering with us for years now. As a church, we've had this joyous privilege of doing this in partnership. Some praying, some giving, some advocating. And sometimes when we talk about rescue, numbers can start to feel distance. I just mentioned 26,000. I mentioned 16 rescues a day. There's statistics, there is percentages, but every number has a name, a face and a family. And so before we finish today, I do want to close with this story of a girl called Zira. Zira was 17 years old. She'd been running a small food stall, helping to support her family. But then the government came through, demolished and destroyed everything. Income gone, security gone, hope was disappearing for Zira. And eventually someone in her world suggested, "Well, why don't you sell yourself to make money?" See, what began as survival for Zira slowly became darkness, fear, and hopelessness. Then Zira heard about Destiny Rescue, and these are her words. "I was counseled, encouraged, and told that all is not lost." I love that. All is not lost. Imagine hearing those words after hopelessness. Then she said, "Destiny Rescue held my hand, pulled me out of the dark. And later, as of today, I'm earning decently. And as you can see, I'm even smiling." Then this line, "I've never been this happy. And I thank God for today." As I read those words this week, I thought, how incredible that you can go from that kind of situation, living in hopelessness, to now speaking of joy. But that's what restoration is all about. That's what God does. Not simply removing chains, but restoring dignity, identity, and hope. And I've thought about this question a lot this week, you know. And I often wonder, what would Zira's life look like if nobody responded, if nobody noticed, if nobody prayed, if nobody gave? Because rescue stories begin with ordinary people who decide not to look away. And maybe that's why rescue stories resonate so deeply with us. Because every one of us who knows Jesus has a rescue story too. The gospel is the greatest rescue story ever told. God saw us. He heard us, he came for us, and made a way to freedom. But God's rescue is never meant to stop with us. So whether your response today is one to pray more, to partner, to give, to speak up, or simply refuse to look away, can I say thank you? Because every act of obedience matters. Every act of generosity matters. Every child, as our founder would say, is worth the risk, worth the love, and worth the cost. And because of this church, you're bringing restoration and hope to children all around the world. And you know, I think the church is at its most beautiful when we don't step away and hide from darkness, but we move towards children who are still living in chains. Why don't we close in prayer? Lord, I thank you that you are God who still sees, you still care, and you still rescue. Lord, I want to thank you for every child restored. Lord, the countless lives that have been changed because of the incredible generosity from Kenmore Uniting Church. Lord, I pray that you would bless every home here. Lord, we lift up to you those children that are still yet to be rescued, Lord. And Lord, would you help us to continue to notice? Would you help us to be people that would respond to your cry? And may the church continue reflecting your goodness and your freedom to those still waiting. In Jesus' name, amen.